His name is Jonah Dillon, Tigers football beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. But he's also covers Grizzlies. And if I'm not mistaken, looks like he's covering some MMA. I saw him tweeting about Memphis baseball the other night. So he's a man of many talents and many interests. You can follow him on X at the Jonah Dillon, the Jonah Dillon. Read him at commercialappeal.com. He's doing a fantastic job, like I said. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jonah. I went back and looked. Will it be a year in July? Once we get to July that you've been here? I know what second season going into on the beat. But about a year in July since you've joined us here in Memphis.
Yeah, it was end of July. Man, it feels like it's in some sense it feels like it's gone really quick. And then I look back on all the things that have happened in that time, and it's like, wow, I can't even believe it's been less than a year. But yeah, coming up on a couple months that 1 year anniversary. So,
and then
yeah,
well, welcome again. I mean, and welcome to the show. I've been obviously reading you and a fan from afar, but. Happy to have you here in Memphis. And just before we get into the sort of what you cover and anything, everything else, tell me a little bit about your background. Now, I understand you come from Hartford, right? You'd covered government up there, and then in Vegas you'd covered breaking news, so a little bit of a transition from the news side to the sports side. What got you so interested in covering Tigers football or sports here in Memphis?
Yeah, I did. I was always interested in sports coverage. And like you said, I did a couple different things. And I was looking for something when I lived in Hartford, more sports wise. And this opportunity came about. And then of course, once I got here and obviously, you know, one of the biggest stories in Memphis has been the stadium funding. When I got here and my editors learned, you know, they knew that I had experience covering government. So they said, perfect. You can go cover city council meetings, you know, good thing we have you ready to go. And so that's how I ended up doing that. It's been amazing so far. Like you said, it's been totally different for me, and the change of pace, just the cadence of sports coverage and how things operate, and kind of getting to know this city through that. But yeah, it's been a big difference, but I really enjoyed it so far.
Well, real quick, I'm curious of your view, through your lens of the city. I'm sure you hear things about Memphis before you get here. It's the elephant in the room. Clearly a city that has crime issues. You see that every night on television. I'm curious, how is it compared to sort of what you've heard? And in terms of your downtime, how out and about are you in the city? Just your thoughts on the city itself. When you're coming from Hartford, you've been in Vegas. What's Memphis been like for you?
Yeah, it's been I definitely didn't have a lot of downtime during the football season, so I've been out a little bit
working
more recently.
Yeah.
But it's totally different. For me, it's different to any place that I've experienced before. You know, when I drove here from Connecticut, it was the first time I'd ever been in the South in my life. And so getting used to people's accents, yeah, and the cadence of how people feel, like, I feel like I'm still getting used to it. But Memphis definitely, the one thing I can say that I noticed right away is Memphis has an identity more so than other places that I've been in. That's not to put down other places, but it's very distinct. And people care about this place, and they're very protective of it. And it's something that you see, like, it bleeds into sports, but also, you know, it's outside of sports, and it's kind of interesting to see how those things, because you hear about, like, people talk about, oh, grit and grind, that's more than just the Grizzlies, it's the whole city, and you don't really understand what that means and how that kind of, like, looks until you're actually here and you see how people interact with things and with sports teams. So it's been cool to kind of learn through some of that stuff, both through sports and just being around in the city.
Well, you've been a great addition. We've enjoyed your coverage so far. I got to ask you, I mean, it feels like you're coming in, like you said, at a really good time. I mean, you had everything going on with the stadium. You're now at a point where, you know, this program is controlling that stadium. It's got the renovations coming. Just saw, you know, we got the news about the NIL commitment from FedEx. Ryan Silverfield's got a contract extension. Oh, by the way, his fourth-year starter is back at quarterback. And so it really feels like, Jonah, it's a program that's in a position, obviously, to take off maybe in a way that it never has. I mean, you have this opportunity in the college football playoff if you win the American. So your timing couldn't be more right. It couldn't be more perfect in terms of what you're covering and maybe the national relevance the Tigers could have. I mean, don't you feel like going in this thing, and I know we've had some numbers and some win totals coming out, that this is the clear-cut favorite in the American we're talking about, and if we are talking about that, then we're talking about a possible shot at the college football playoff. How real is this?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely real. I think there's, like you said, this is a huge moment for this program. When you look at the history of not only this program, but just the way that college football is operated, right, to have an opportunity legitimately to make the college football playoff or to make whatever the highest level is even before the playoff, that's never really existed for Memphis before and for a lot of programs. Right. And you take that, which is like this incredible opportunity that, by the way, we don't know how long this opportunity is going to last.
Exactly.
Because we know that there's going to be a new playoff. We don't know if, you see all these things about a group of five playoff, whatever. Is Memphis going to get into a different conference? Like, we have no idea what the future is going to look like. But we do know that this season, Memphis has guaranteed access to the playoff, which it has never had before. And then you stack on top of that all the other things you talked about. Like, this is actually the year, if you look at, how Memphis has operated for the past couple of years, this should be the best team that they have. So this is the year that you would want that guaranteed access, with Seth Hennigan coming back, with all the guys they brought in through the transfer portal. So all those two things really aligning this season mean that, I'm trying to go back, and I know, obviously, as we just talked about, I haven't been here for a very long time, but this feels like this season for Memphis is different than any other one they've had in terms of football, because you're just the realistic expectations for what could happen this season are higher than they've ever been throughout this program's history. And obviously this is a program that was really bad for a really long time. Yep. Right. And we think of it recently as being like a pretty successful program, which it has been, but longtime fans obviously will know that this program was not that for a really long time. And so this kind of rise of the program coinciding with the way the playoff is expanding kind of worked out perfectly going into this season.
Dude, you nailed it. You didn't need to be here long to nail it. It's the best position this football program's ever been in. And I told you, texting when you and I was asking you to come on, I can't remember. And again, I'm a fan of the program, covered a little bit, I was on the basketball side mostly, but I can't ever remember this level of excitement. And to the point that you made, realistic goals and possibilities here for this Memphis football program. So I think you're spot on about the spot that it's in right now. We'll just kind of go through it. Offensively, this team was good last year. I went back and looked at Bill Connelly's SP Plus rankings, the finals last year, just to remind myself they were top 10. They were number 10 in the country in offensive efficiency. We know the defense was a whole other story. I'm just curious, Jonah, based on what you've sort of chronicled in terms of, and you mentioned it, that Ryan's brought in. You got a Mario Anderson coming from South Carolina, to go with Seth. You got your two receivers back. Do you expect this offense to be more explosive, to be just as explosive? Sort of what are you expecting? Again, you got a guy that's I don't know how many programs have got a fourth-year starter at quarterback. Just how good do you expect this offense to be?
Yeah, I think it should be really good. I mean, that's no secret, the expectations in terms of that. Obviously, Seth Hennigan, in terms of returning production, is, as you saw, a couple of those lists come out preseason. Returning production-wise, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, just in terms of what he's already done. I mean, he's already Memphis' all-time leading passer in three seasons. Maybe that speaks to the history of Memphis football a little bit, like we talked about before also, that he was able to do that, without even playing his fourth season. But, Mario Anderson comes in as the leading rusher from South Carolina, and obviously, Watson was really good last year, so it's not like you're – it's going to be hard. If Mario Anderson comes in and plays as well as Blake Watson did last year, that would be pretty good, because Blake Watson rushed for over 1,000 yards and was really successful. So I think that's a big addition. I think Rock Taylor is somebody who probably going into this season, at least returning-wise, is the best receiver in this conference. He had pretty much a breakout season last year, and I think should be better this year. Obviously, him and Seth Hennigan have been building chemistry. They've been together for 4 years, which – again, that's another quirk of this team, is you have guys who have been in this program for a long time, which is just something that you don't see in college football anymore, especially at a group of five program, right? If you have guys that come to a program like this and they play well, they're usually gone. And obviously, we've seen it in Memphis. We've seen it in other places. But I think when you look at those three guys right there, the offense is going to be good. The offensive line is going to be interesting, and that's a storyline to watch throughout training camp, because the offensive line was pretty good last year after not being good in 2022. They lost a lot of guys, and they brought in a lot of transfers. And so kind of figuring out that pecking order is going to be something to watch, because that's one of those things throughout the season where if you go through the whole season, you find that you haven't really talked about the offensive line. That's usually a good sign, and that kind of was what happened last year. But with a lot of new guys coming in, it's going to be interesting to see, who ends up in those positions and how that all kind of shakes out.
How much are we going to find out, Jonah? Because you've, like we talked about, you've got a guy, Seth Hennigan, you trust him so much. He's out there and he's going to get a ton of reps. And, you know, maybe at the end of some of these games, because you were so explosive offensively, you'll have some time to look at a backup or something. But in terms of, like, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I want to ask you about the defense and we'll focus on this year. But in terms of finding out, right, the backup or the future, how confident are you that guy's on the roster? Will we even see him this year? And then I realize, too, they're involved, you know, with a top 15 quarterback prospect. I believe it's A.J. Hill. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Sort of what's going to happen when Seth's gone, I guess, is what I'm asking. Not trying to get too far ahead, but wondering, too, if any of these guys are going to get time this year to even see.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good question, obviously. Anytime you're going into this season where you know that your quarterback is going to be gone next year. I think the guy that I would watch, you know, there's kind of this three-way competition for a backup quarterback. The name that comes up the most is Arrington Maiden, who's a freshman, who's still 17 years old, by the way, doesn't turn 18 until July. The ideal plan for him would be to win the backup job redshirt this year and be Seth's backup and then go into next season with a quarterback competition obviously to come, but expecting to win it. And I think it's clear to me that Memphis ideally would like to find a quarterback who can play for 4 years. Like, they don't want to have to go through the transfer portal. They don't want to have to go find a new quarterback every year. Brady White played for 3 years and Seth Hennigan played for four. Yep. I mean, I guess there's not a lot of programs that have had two quarterbacks in 7 years, especially in this day and age, right? So I think he's someone to watch. And then A.J. Hill, like you mentioned, if they manage to get him and it is very real, that interest, that doesn't mean like he's going to come. But right. It means that it is a very it's possible that happens and almost likely at this point, but so much can change with recruiting and decommitments and things like that. If he were to come, part of the reason that he's interested in Memphis is because there's going to be an opening next season. Yep. And you look at a lot of these other programs, maybe there's not an opportunity to start right away. And he probably looks at it as, okay, if I go to Memphis, like, I can play as a true freshman, which, by the way, Seth Hennigan did it, and he played for 4 years. So, and that helps you. That helps
absolutely
you in recruiting. So I think it's going to be interesting how that kind of works out.
Talk with Jonah Dillon, fantastic Tigers football beat writer for the CA. Make sure you're reading him at commercialappeal.com. All right, we talked about the offensive side, and like you said, I'm right with you. I think the big storyline, they've got the weapons. It's going to be about how that offensive line comes together. On the defensive side, you've got studs. You got Chandler Martin coming back. He's all AAC. You know, another transfer portal guy you got from East Tennessee State. They're pulling the leading tacklers from Tennessee. Elijah Herring going to play linebacker next to him. So it feels like, I mean, in terms of, you know, got, obviously got, you know, a significant amount to replace, but he's got some really good, you know, and at least potentially replacements for them. We know they've got to improve significantly. I mean, I think it was 111 last year, Jonah, in those SP Plus rankings on the defensive side. It looked a lot better under Jordan Hankins against Iowa State. How much improvement does there have to be, and how much do you expect on that side of the ball?
Yeah, I think there has to be a lot of improvement. I think the secondary has to improve a lot, and you're going to see different guys in there last year than this year that we saw last year. A couple guys have left, obviously. What's going to be interesting to see is what the defense actually looks like, because Jordan Hankins changed everything
in
3 weeks.
Yep, tell me about it.
Yeah, so you come in, and I think he had seven practices, and he basically changed the entire defensive scheme, and it worked really well. Part of it is, and you know, coaches say this, and it's, you kind of take it with a grain of salt. Like, they went and played Iowa State, and they showed him a completely different defense. Iowa State was sitting there watching film for a month of Memphis' defense, and then they started playing the game, and it was completely different. Now, you got to give Memphis credit for executing that, because that easily could have, you know, gone down the drain pretty quickly when you're trying to tell guys to do something like that. I think the defense is going to change again. I think it's going to be built around Chandler Martin, and he's going to be a hugely important player for the whole team. I mean, if this team is going to be successful, he's going to have to play at that level again, and maybe even better. And I think the linebackers, you know, Jeff Kanarku was really good last year. He's obviously gone. But like you said, Elijah Herring comes in. There's a lot of linebackers coming in. So that's not where I would be worried. I think there's a lot to figure out in the secondary, and there's a lot to figure out up front. Those are the two places that need to improve. And I just think that the scheme, seeing how that actually turns out, is going to be really interesting. What do they look like when they come out? Jordan Hankins has talked about potentially changing things up game to game. And obviously, doing that the way that he did it against Iowa State, you wouldn't count him out. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they change everything and then how that comes together kind of as the season develops.
In terms of the rest of the conference, Jonah, and I know, it's not fall and we won't know for sure on some things in terms of, you know, who's playing positions necessarily. You know, we've got transfer portal guys and stuff we expect to see at Tulane and everything else. I'm just curious, in terms of the rest of the conference, and I don't even know if I want to use threat as the word. Frankly, you need the whether it's the Tulanes, the South Floridas, the UTSAs, to bring something to the table so that, you know, if you are running the conference, if you are the American, it actually means something as opposed to, you know, if you're in the Mountain West, you know that schedule is going to be a little bit tougher in conference. I'm just curious, is there a threat in conference? I think we both agree Memphis should and will be the AAC pick to win it. But in terms of those teams I mentioned, Tulane, we know under a new coach, but they hit the transfer portal as well. Who are you expecting, you know, to give Memphis a run for the title? Who would even be in that group?
I think Tulane. I think I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest, that it feels like, especially in the past couple months, and obviously, you know, no one is playing games, no one's winning championships in the spring. I kind of expected that going into the summer, it would be more, okay, you could pick Tulane, you could pick Memphis. Whereas it feels to me now, and obviously, you know, we're coming at it from the Memphis market, but it does feel to me like that ESPN list, I think Tulane was down at number 8 or something, that Memphis is going to be picked ahead of Tulane. Now, obviously, Tulane has a new coach and a new quarterback, but they brought in a coach who was very successful at Troy and John Sumrall, and they brought in the quarterback, Ty Thompson from Oregon, who was a 4-star guy that a lot of Oregon fans thought was their future quarterback.
That's right.
And it's not like he played, you know, it's hard to tell with some of these guys when you're a highly touted recruit and then you don't really play and you go somewhere else, you know, what did they see in practice or was it just opportunity? So I think that Tulane, and they brought in a lot of guys. They have a returning running back, Mekhi Hughes, who's probably would be picked to be the best running back in the conference, certainly the best returning running back. And so I think Tulane is very serious and you've got to consider them a threat, and they're a team that's been more successful than Memphis over the past couple seasons, obviously. And then the other one is South Florida, because I think that they improved a lot last year with the first-year head coach.
Agreed.
Brought back a lot of guys, brought back their quarterback. Memphis has to go play at both of those teams, which obviously makes it more difficult. And I think those are the two teams. Obviously, SMU leaving the conference, you know, that means that there's another high-caliber team in this conference that's not in there anymore. And UTSA is probably expected to go back a little bit because they lost Frank Harris, who was their quarterback, for such a long period of time. So I think that Tulane, it'll be interesting if it comes to the season and Memphis continues to get this hype. I think Tulane is going to kind of fly under the radar a little bit because I'm still expecting that to be a pretty good football team.
And then how, I know, again, this is something we're going to have to work through, and maybe the, you know, the Mountain West is a deal where it eats itself, but how concerned are you, I guess, in sort of dovetailing off that last question about the AAC, that your, you know, your conference strength of schedule is going to be something that's good enough? Like, will Memphis have to do more because its conference is weaker than a Boise State would in winning its conference? You know, can it have a couple losses as opposed to Memphis doesn't need? How worried are you about the Mountain West, Boise? I know some have thrown Liberty in there as a possible team that could beat you out for that group of five spot if you're winning the conference in terms of being that highest ranked conference champion. When you look at the Mountain West, whether it's Boise or another team, and at Liberty, how much of a threat are they in terms of taking that spot from you?
Yeah, to me, Boise State is the team that I would look at, and that I would pick. Like, I think if you're picking a team, you know, whatever group of five team, obviously ESPN put Memphis number one. I think a lot of people have picked Boise State, and Boise State has a lot of things going for it. It has Ashton Jenny returning a running back who's one of the best players in the country, straight up. He's the best player in the group of five coming back. It's amazing that they kept him. And then they brought in a quarterback in Malachi Nelson who, you know, I keep saying this, but he was the number one quarterback in the country last year. He was ranked ahead of Arch Manning. And those two guys, you know, that, and not only are they going to be really good, I think, but they're getting a lot of national attention. They're going to continue to get national attention because you have guys of that caliber, which is going to help you. Because I think one of the things that's going to happen this season is that these group of five teams that are competing for that playoff spot are going to get more national attention than they have in years past.
You're right.
Because people are going to be interested in a potential playoff team. And that's going to affect how teams are viewed, right? If you're getting a lot of attention, and I think the teams that are getting the most attention and will get the most attention are Memphis and Boise State. And I just think, like, I think Boise State, if you look at their schedule, they have a tougher schedule than Memphis.
Yep.
They go play at Oregon, which you can compare to Memphis going to play at Florida State. Both teams having an opportunity to potentially have a huge win for their resume, but not one that if you lose that game,
right,
it's going to take you out of consideration or anything. And then they're playing these Mountain West teams, and they're playing Oregon State and Washington State. And probably you look at that schedule through and through, and it's a tougher schedule. So they've got a huge opportunity. And then you never know who else is going to come forward. I think Liberty, I think Liberty, with what they did last year, we've seen in the past the committee, especially with Group of Five teams, kind of penalizing them or rewarding them for things they did in years past,
yep,
which is, I don't think it's fair, but I think that's what they do. And I think because of the way that Liberty, you know, was a controversial pick because of their strength of schedule last year and the way that they played against Oregon in that game, I think it's very hard for me to see the committee picking them to be the playoff team. As long as there's another team like a Memphis or a Boise State that has a good resume, I just don't see Liberty being the team, even if they were to go undefeated. Now, obviously, it depends on who the other teams are and how they win and what they look like. But if I was a Memphis fan trying to root against other teams, the number one team on my list would be Boise State, especially at this point.
Could not, I mean, in terms of thought process, the way I'm looking at this thing, could not be more aligned with where you're at. So I feel good about some of the way I'm feeling to have it sort of confirmed by you here, having now covered this program so closely for a year. Last thing I got for you, just maybe a transfer portal name that maybe a little bit lesser talked about, maybe a guy we haven't touched on, that you feel pretty good about is going to be a big impact guy or a guy that's going to be, you know, crucial for this team that maybe we hadn't talked about. You got one off the top of your head? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I think obviously Elijah Harry mentioned. I think Reggie Grimes,
yes,
who is the defensive end, because like I kind of touched on it before, but getting pressure on the quarterback was not a huge strength last year, and that's something that I'm sure Jordan Hankins wants to improve on. And so you go bring in a defensive end who played at Oklahoma and was a pretty highly touted recruit. Obviously, I think that's a big deal. I think there's a lot of competition at those positions, and it's going to be interesting to see how he kind of fits into that. But if Memphis can get a pass rusher who's consistently getting to the quarterback and kind of changing things up for opposing offenses, I think that's going to be a huge difference maker, and he could be the guy. So that's what I would say now. Obviously, I can't wait to see how practices go once they start at the end of July and into August, and then we'll have a better idea going into the season. But there we go.
Jonah, I can't wait, man. And you're doing a fantastic job, brother. Can't tell you how much I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate you saying all that.
Yes, sir. He is Jonah Dillon. Make sure you're reading him over at commercialappeal.com. And if you're not, give him a follow for sure on X. It'll be worthwhile. I promise you that. At the Jonah Dillon.